This week on the New York Gridcast, the Giants, are they on the brink of disaster, or can they pull themselves together to right the ship? We'll also take a look at all the NFL games, who are the pretenders, and who are the contenders for Week 13 of the NFL. And welcome to the podcast. We are back after a one-week hiatus, the Thanksgiving holiday. I know it's a big football day, but we usually broadcast on Thursdays, and since it was being Thanksgiving, was not around to do so. So we've got a lot of catching up to do. Of course, since we last went to air, the New York Football Giants have lost two football games. A terrible game in Jacksonville on a Monday night, which was just very disheartening. Not much of an effort there. And then, of course, the complete Titanic collapse in the Music City. They're calling it the Music City Meltdown. Can the Giants recover? That's the thing. Can they recover? There's been a lot of bickering in the press. Actually, I think it's the press just blowing things out of proportion. The media in New York City, every time somebody needs to make a comment on this football team, doesn't happen across the hall for the Jets, which is amazing. It just happens to the Giants. I think the Giants communication director, Pat Hanlon, has to get in there and start managing some of these press conferences, these impromptu press conferences. Because what's happening is guys are firing from all angles. The press is picking it up. They're reporting it back to guys in the locker room who haven't heard it yet. And it looks like the Giants have a lot of internal problems. Now, they do. We're not going to deny that they don't have internal problems. But the one thing is the media is making it worse by reporting different aspects of stories before they confirm it. Or before the Giants can get their arms around them and tell them, yes, we talked to this guy. Yes, this guy talked to this guy. Michael Strahan goes on the radio, WFAN, here in New York, with Joe Beningo, the great Joe Beningo, and says something about Plaxico Burress quitting. Now, it's fairly evident that Burress quit on that play. He looked like he did not care what happened. The ball went over his head. He figured it was going to go out of bounds. We know that. He always does that. He doesn't really give his 1,000%. Plus, the guy's got a bad back. Well, you know, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances. I'm not going to defend him all the way, but Pac-Man Jones out-hustled him for the ball. This is a young, hungry team, this Titan team. Young guys, fast guys, still a young man's game. You know, this kid out-hustled him for the ball. He can't tackle worth a damn, so the guy raced right by him. It is what it is, okay? But the backbiting is part of the press. The press is actually facilitating this backbiting. And I'm making a plea to Pat Hanlon. Should he hear this? Get in that locker room like Jay Horowitz does for the Mets and run interference for all these people and give them a structure and a framework to work under. Don't let them just crowd around a guy's locker and let them fire away. You have to have a little more structure to this. This team is going down in flames. There's a crucial point right here. You know, the fans live and die by this team. Just like every other city. You know, we have two teams, but, you know, there's a lot of Giant fans. There's more Giant fans than Jet fans, as far as I'm concerned. The Giants need to be reined in. Okay, and I'm going to give you a couple of comments on what I think should happen. First of all, for this Giant team, just to sum it up, the sum of the parts are greater than the whole. Okay? Too many superstars. Ernie, of course, you did a great job putting together talent, accumulating talent. Problem is, you got a lot of loose cannons on this club. They brought in Tom Coughlin. He got off on the wrong foot, trying to instill discipline with ridiculous rules like 5 minutes early is late and all that other crap to meet it. Didn't quite work out. He's an older guy. This is like a younger man's game, unless you're a complete icon like a Parcells, a Gibbs, a Bobby Bowden. You can't relate. Tom Coughlin does not have the resume as a professional coach to come in and start making the demands that he made. All right, what the Giants need is a younger guy. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, Jack Del Rio or Nick Saban or Mike Nolan or Sean Payton would do a better job with this group. But I think that they would relate to the players more. And I think the Giants have to make a change at head coach. They have to get an offensive coordinator who plays to the strengths of the team and comes up with a better game plan and somebody that can move Eli along. This kid has to be more animated. He's got to be more excitable. He's got to be more in command. If he's in command of his own emotions, he looks too moody out there. He makes a bad play, he hangs his head, he comes off. It doesn't work that way. You make a bad play, you come off and say, you know what, that's my fault, I'll do it better next time. You got to be more assertive. The coaching staff is just beating these guys down, and they never had a very good rapport with them to begin with. So this is a team that's going down slowly, 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 and now you have this backbiting in the press, and this is a dog with a lot of fleas. And here come the Cowboys. The Cowboys who we beat so convincingly in Dallas on October 23rd. We wiped them out. They brought Romo in the game, and that's when they finally started to move the ball, but he threw two picks. We were able to upset Romo to the point where we can get him to turn the ball over. No other team has been able to do that. Okay, we can do that again Sunday if we have all our horses, which I think we're going to have most of them back. I think Uemura will play. I think Short will play. I think Madison will probably play. I don't think Michael will play. Okay, and of course on offense, Pettigrew and Toomer are gone, two cornerstones of our offense. But we can still run the football with Brandon Jacobs. The best part about the Giants is that they have big, tough, physical guys on offense. The worst part about the Giants is they don't fucking use them. You've got to get the ball in the hands of Shockey and Jacobs. Barber is great. He may be a Hall of Famer. Okay, Burris is an enigma. He's a special player. He's a unique player. That's what I meant to say. Okay, you can do the alley-oop with him all day long. That doesn't matter. What the Cowboys and what every NFL team understands is football, getting hit, trying to make hits. That's their job. When they are pressed into a point where they cannot do their job effectively, that's when you upset their timing. That's when you get into their psyche. When you have a guy like Jacobs coming at them, they got to worry about two things. Stopping them and stopping them. And if they can't physically do it, they need help. Now, if two people see him coming out of the backfield, they try to stop him, obviously. How do you do it? You don't. You don't do it by yourself. And then the next play he comes at them, they think about it. Then the next play, they're thinking about it. When you have a runner like that, you got to use him. I love Tiki Barber. He's a great Giant. He's one of the best we've ever had. But he cannot instill the fear that Brandon Jacobs can on a defense. Brandon Jacobs gets the ball. You have to worry about A, bringing him down, and B, getting yourself hurt. It's as simple as that. And he loves it. He loves the contact. He likes to run people over. You know, and then when he runs you over, he lets you know about it, which is something I don't appreciate. But still, that's another thing. It's a humiliation factor. It's attack offense. Shockey, getting the ball, getting past your linebackers into your secondary is a very scary thought. The Giants have him in blocking. I don't know how many times I said this. They have him in blocking. He can't block. He's like, when you take the best tight ends in the game, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Todd Heap, Jeremy Shockey, okay, and probably Jason Witten, where are they most effective? In the opponent's secondary while occupying their linebackers. Their quicker linebackers, no less. They have to assign their quickest guy to him. The quickest linebacker, and he's going to take up a strong safety, a free safety. A corner may follow him, make a mistake. The Giants don't do this. They don't do this. Use him the way that the Chargers use Gates and the Chiefs use Gonzalez. Use him like that. Make him a weapon. When he was drafted, he was a weapon. Now he's a dud. And Eli doesn't help by throwing behind this guy all the time. Throw it to him. To him. In his hands. Right between the 8 and a 0. If he drops it, he drops it. Who cares? They have to mind him when he comes out of the backfield. When he comes off the line, rather. It's ridiculous. Stop throwing behind guys. I don't know what his problem is. I've seen Tony Romo comes in, boom, boom, boom. He looks like Joe Montana. How did that happen? You know? You got to lead guys. You just can't wait. You can't wait. You cannot wait. 1-2-3, boom. 1-2-3, boom. That's how you throw the football in this league. You know, you don't stand back there and, you know, take a sun bath. You got to go back your stance. You see a guy. You look at one guy. You look at another. And bam, you throw it to where the guy's going, not to where he's been. Shockey cannot turn around and catch a ball. He's got to catch the ball while he's moving. He catches it while he's moving. He's three times as dangerous. Now, this is not something about the development of a quarterback. This is something about common sense. Throw the ball where he's going. You know, Eli looks for the crutch. You know, he keeps throwing the ball low to the receivers. Why? So he doesn't get picked off. What are you throwing? Nobody's going to catch it there. You got to give your guys an opportunity to catch the football. He's lazy. The easy way out. The alley-oop to Burris. And look what happened with the alley-oop to Burris last game. Somebody outraced him to the ball. Okay, that's enough with this team. That's enough, okay? They've got a game coming up against the Dallas Cowboys, who are three, you know, when they're have a three-game winning streak, okay? Coming into Giants Stadium, all the records mean nothing. It's 0-0. We win this game, we're back in first place because we have them in a tiebreaker. The head-to-head. We have two wins over them. Win this game and don't look back. Forget about all the bullshit, all the peripheral stuff that's going on. You got some guys coming back healthy. You've got a quarterback who knows what he has to do now. I think he's tired of hearing all the mistakes he makes every time he comes off the field. I don't even want to get into the Tennessee game, because there was no reason for the Giants to blow a 21-point lead with 9 minutes and 35 seconds to go. All right, and I agree with Mike Francesa on WFAN that you don't necessarily need to run the clock out, but you do need to run the football, and you need to complete passes. And there were easy passes for him to complete there, and he did not do it. He did not do it. You can throw the ball when you're up that much. That's the nature of football these days. You know, there are plays where you send guys out, you can hit them 5-7 yards, keep the clock going. But when you're throwing it at their ankles, it's not going to work out. With the Giants, they don't really need to throw the football. I disagree with Mike on this. They can run with Jacobs. They can run with Barber. You know what I'm saying? They can run some screen plays, keep the clock going. Yeah, you can throw off the run, sure. And a lot of teams do, and I've seen them do it. But the Giants, when the quarterback is misfiring as badly as Eli Manning, wasn't the best course of action to take at that point in the game. Wasn't the best course of action. And then Tom Coughlin gets frustrated. You know, first of all, let's go back to, let's sum this up. You know, I'm really getting pissed off now. You have strong players. Have a very good offensive team, okay? Eli Manning is not as bad as people think he is, okay? He's not as good as he should be, but he's not as bad as he actually is, as you're saying. He's playing poorly. He's given very little to work with, okay? All right. He's taking the hits. So it can't be the fact that he's afraid of the contact. He's getting hit, you know, and he stands in there and throws the ball. So it's not the physicalness that bothers him. I think he's got a little bit of tunnel vision. They need to do something to help open up his eyes. And I think what that would do is Jeremy Shockey going out for passes. I think sending somebody deep down the field more often would help as well. Tim Carter, he can't catch the football, but you know, he was a track star in college. He could run. You could send him long. Now you're going to have Senioris Moss coming in the mix. Send him out. He could run. Send him deep. If he's open, throw it to him. If he's not, he's got to be occupying somebody's time. He's going to open things up. Things are going to open up. They've got to have him in a very, very small, confined thought process. But it has to be done quickly. He has to be able to see things quicker. He has to be able to react quicker. He's got to throw the ball where it needs to be thrown. You know, this is quarterbacking 101. It's being done in this league. It's being done by somebody in this league. Okay? He's hurting them at this point. They need him to play better. He plays better, they'll play better. He makes better decisions. And if he's given the right plays to run, which is another thing, and the right personnel on the field, he'll do better. I have confidence that we can win this football game. The Cowboys just let Vanderjack go, which was not a problem for me. Because I think Vanderjack is an asshole. I had him in fantasy football. He sucks. He missed too many field goals. Parcells had paying him a lot of money. He dumped him. He did the right thing. But they're bringing in Martin Gramatica. He may not be any better. And now he's coming into Giant Stadium in December. Not the easiest place to kick. You know, Jay Feely will tell you that. Kicked in a dome for years with Atlanta. Comes to the Giants. He's average. He went from being above average to very average. Okay, so that's, you know, for a new kicker to come in and have him have the responsibility of kicking in Giant Stadium, it's going to be difficult for them. So that's one thing in the Giants' advantage. The other thing is that their run defense is playing better. Okay, and the Cowboys run the ball very well. Okay, they're Julius Jones, Marion Barber III, very good runners, tough runners. The Giants can hold them down and put the ball in Romo's hands. A lot of people say don't let put the ball in Romo's hands because he's so hot. I disagree. The Meadowlands has a way. This league has a very, very, very funny way of evening things up. The Meadowlands will even Tony Romo out, I think. And the Giants will be able to put pressure on him. And he'll make mistakes on Sunday. This is going to be a close football game. I think we're going to win this game. I honestly do. I honestly do. You know, in spite of ourselves, in spite of all the problems that we've had, I think we win this football game. And that's all I have to say about this right now. I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, spoo on and go on forever, but I do believe that we win this game, we take over first place, and we don't look back. And let's get on with our lives. Now let's go to the rest of the league. Of course, on our website, bluehorizons.blogharbor.com, you can find all of this information. I put my power rankings, I put my picks on there. Let's go through the power rankings for the NFL. In the NFC, there's only six teams over 500 in the whole conference. Okay, and two of those are 6-5, the Giants and Carolina. Dallas is the only team with a current winning streak of more than one game. They have a three-game win streak. All right, first of all, Chicago's 9-2. They're still the class of this conference. Unfortunately, it's not a very competitive conference at this time. It's competitive, but at a very low competition level. All right. Seattle is rising. They're number two. They've got Matt Hasselbeck back. They've got Sean Alexander back. They played in the snow in Green Bay the other night. They look great. Packers aren't a bad team. They're not a good team. They're not a bad team. They play pretty good defense. They scored 34 points. So, the Seahawks. So I'm putting them up at number two. Number three is the Cowboys. They're hot. They've really risen up the ranks. They're 7-4, just like Seattle is. And they're playing great. You know, but they're coming into the Giants Stadium, a division rival. We just went through all of this. They may be taken down a notch. New Orleans is leading the South, and the South this year is a very disappointing division. The Saints were the have-nots last year for many reasons beyond their control. Sean Payton came in, changed half the team. Got Drew Brees. They signed Drew Brees. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But, they got Reggie Bush. They got a facelift. And they got Sean Payton, who was a tremendous play caller. I really, when he was here, he was great. He really was. And, they're 7-4. They're going to be in the playoffs. In their division, Atlanta's horrible. Carolina can't get out of their own way. And Tampa Bay has fallen on hard times. So they're kind of like in the right place at the right time. Plus, they're playing pretty good football. Number five in the NFC are the Giants. But if they lose this week, we're going to put them out and keep them out because they just don't belong. I don't know what's going to happen if they don't make the postseason this year. There's going to be some wholesale changes there, I can imagine. Let's switch over to the AFC. The Colts are 10-1. They are still number one in the conference. People keep wanting to put San Diego up there for some reason because they got LaDainian Thomas. Don't forget that Marty Schottenheimer is the head coach of this team. Mr. Snakebit, Mr. Bad Luck. All right? He cannot win the big football games. The only way they're ever going to win is if LaDainian Tomlinson scores four touchdowns every time they play. When they play these good teams. Phillip Rivers, everybody, you know, the guy out there, I forget his name, Smith, Al Smith, or whatever the hell his name is. He thought it was the cat that ate the canary when they made the Eli Manning trade, and then he got Phillip Rivers from the Giants. Phillip Rivers is going to have the same luck that Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick and Eli Manning and Carson Palmer have had. You're going to hit some dry spells. Right now, he's riding high, and they look like hot shit out there. Nobody's that good. Nobody. Okay? Drew Brees came into this league. He didn't even play, I don't think. Until when he did play, he got his ass kicked. They had two quarterbacks in San Diego. Brees, and they got Rivers. Okay? They're so fucking smart out there. They said, let's replace Drew Brees. Who, by the way, is the best quarterback in the league this year. Okay, you want to write that down? And they let him go and they kept Rivers. They're going to regret that. They're going to regret that. They should already be regretting it because if they had Brees, they'd be 11-0 instead of 9-2. Not that it matters, but they'd have a legitimate chance at winning. Rivers is a rookie in my eyes, and he's going to make mistakes. Look at Roethlisberger. You know, he didn't play that well. They won the Super Bowl. Okay, now they don't have the team around him anymore. Some guys left, other guys got hurt, and look how poorly he's playing. Look how badly he's struggling. The most 19 interceptions, he leads the NFL in interceptions. Okay, that could happen to Phillip Rivers. Look at Eli Manning. Came in, had some success, put the Giants in the playoffs. They won a division last year. Look at him this year. Look how far he's regressed. Do you think under Marty Schottenheimer that Phillip Rivers is gonna turn into Joe Montana or Dan Marino? You're out of your fucking mind. This guy, their day is coming. And I just hope it's soon. Number three is my favorite team in football. Because they just won't die. The New England Patriots. Everybody hates them. They hate Tom Brady. They hate Bill Belichick. They hate this guy. They hate that guy. Somehow, they keep winning. Different guys. Not the same guy. Brady's the same. Okay, they just keep winning. New receivers, running backs, new defense, new coaches. Just keep on going. And you know, it's the mentality. It's the Belichick mentality. It's the Brady mentality that wins football games. Forget about the stats. Forget about the individuality. That doesn't win football games. Hello, Giants. There's no media stars. Tom Brady's a media star because he has to be a media star. A guy with three Super Bowl rings? A young guy like that? He's got to be a media star. But he doesn't go out shopping himself. When he's on that football field, he's all business. If he doesn't do it on the field, nothing else matters. You know, they lost to the Jets a couple of weeks ago. You saw how pissed off Belichick was. He may not lose another game this year. The Bears went up there. They beat them. They picked off Rex Grossman. They had his number. Asante Samuel had three. He's their worst defender, as far as I'm concerned. Had three interceptions. This team is going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be hard to beat. But they'll have to go on the road because they'll have to go to Indianapolis, who's figured out a way to beat them now. Or they'll have to go to San Diego, who may not have enough to beat them. Don't kid yourself. And Baltimore, who I have ranked fourth, hasn't really been tested, although they did beat San Diego. They do have a win over Cincinnati, I believe, and they play Cincinnati tonight. And this is a big game for the Ravens. They lose this game, their credibility's kind of shot. Because Cincinnati's a good team, making a comeback, very good offense. They shut out the Browns, whatever the fuck that's worth, last week. And they got a good ball club. Okay, they got a good offense. They got Cross Palmer's a very good quarterback, good receivers, good running back. And Baltimore has got to step up in Cincinnati tonight. and make a good showing in order for me to keep them in this top five. I don't care what their record is. And now you got number five, Kansas City. This is a team that's hot because Denver is falling on hard times. The quarterback situation is abysmal. Jake Plummer, again, can't pull the trigger. He can't win ball games when you need him to win a ball game. So they're putting in Jay Cutler, who I think has got a good chance to be a good player in this league. And they're going to go from there. But Kansas City is playing better. Their defense has been playing the best they have in a long time. Their offense, Trent Green, is back. They got Larry Johnson. They've got a very good offensive team. But they have Herman as their coach. So we don't know how far they're going to go. I mean, he can get them to the water. Can he get them to drink? That's been Herm's problem his whole career. But that's it for our Around the NFL. And hopefully you'll catch our next podcast, which should be right after this. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. I got to talk about the BCS. Oh, let's not forget about the BCS. This is my pet project, my pet peeve. I've been studying, you know, how the BCS does things. And, you know, the whole place is going to the dogs right now. Ohio State, clearly number one. Clearly. Beat Michigan. You know, they beat everybody in their path. And now they're going to get an opportunity to play USC, it appears. Because USC beat Notre Dame, who is not a good team. They are basing the 946 percentage over Michigan's 922 percentage on a game that they played against Notre Dame, who was ranked sixth, you know, inflatedly ranked sixth last week, or five by the BCS, which was wrong. I think it's absolutely wrong that Notre Dame gets too much credit. They don't really beat, they haven't really beaten anybody. They lost in Michigan, they lost in Ann Arbor, they lost in LA last week. You know, I just, you know, you can't use that as a rule of thumb for putting USC over Michigan. Do they play a tougher schedule? No, I don't think so. Looking at the BCS right now, okay, I don't see in the top 15, I do not see another Pac-10 team. In the BCS, top seven, I see three Big Ten teams. All right? So who has the toughest schedule? Who has the rigor? I don't think, you know, USC, they want them in the game. They want that L.A. market. They want the sexy game. You know, they've won the best teams of the new millennium. I understand the program is great. Pete Carroll is great. I'm not knocking them. But Michigan has earned it as well as USC. They went to Columbus, played Ohio State, and should have beaten them. They didn't. They made one more mistake than the Buckeyes made. Okay, they lost the game by three points, whatever it is. So, you know, you take your choice. The Michigan will go to the Rose Bowl. They'll play Florida, another team that's inflated. All right, Florida, I hope that Florida loses to Arkansas this week. I think they will. I think they're going to lose that SEC game against Arkansas. We'll talk about that on the next podcast. Okay, thanks for listening and putting up with my bullshit. And we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully the Giants will be in first place. Thanks for listening.